Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. We got a lot of stuff to do today. We're going to do Two Keys and a Lock. Tim May from the Tim May Podcast. We're going to talk a little Ohio State as they get set to kick off at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And we're also sitting here trying to figure out the Browns. And, you know, we were asking before we went to the break, do you think the change with a play caller is going to make a difference? And we just both think it's kind of it's limited. I want to see what it looks like, though. I mean, it's sitting there right in front of us.
I want to see if he uses different personnel.
And that'll be it. Or you want to see the you're essentially going to see the same personnel, only mixed differently.
If he accentuates different guys, you know, we're going to make a bigger effort to get the ball to Jerry Jeudy. We're going to run the ball more. We're going to mix in, you know, Cedric Tillman's going to get 10 passes thrown his way. We'll see.
This is a question I really didn't want to ask, but I'm going to get into it anyway. What happens if the Browns lose on Sunday? What does it mean? What does it mean if they lose to the Jets?
Well, we talked about this yesterday a little bit. I think it's a pivotal game, and it's pivotal for the future of coaches, front office. I truly think. I mean, the Jets, Andy, the Jets told everybody they're tanking. They said we're rebuilding. We're getting rid of our two best defensive players. We're picking up draft picks. We're out. Everybody, see ya. That's what they told everybody at the trade deadline. You go lose to them? Goodness gracious.
Yeah, I think the Browns are the favorite in a road game.
Road favorites.
Which, when you're a two-win team, it's kind of like, whoa, really? Oh, Vegas thinks you're going to win this game.
Nick Costos thinks they're going to win this game.
There we go.
Our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider.
They don't even need to play it, if Nick's saying that. What are you looking for in this week's game? What do you think the Browns are going to do? Why are the Browns going to look different? If they do win and they pick up that third win of the season, does it change your perspective on where they're at? I still think, unless the Steelers lose a couple games and you had any hope for anything, you know, beyond the draft, I don't see it.
There's one other thought here that we haven't touched on too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're changing the play caller. Tommy Rees is going to call plays. They're also coming off a bye week. If you have extra time to get ready to play the New York Jets and the Jets, who are 1-7 and aren't good, and the Jets traded their two best defensive players, and you come out and lay an egg, Andy, that's just an awful look. I don't expect that to happen. I think the Browns are going to play well, and I think they're going to win. But, man, if they don't, I think it tells you everything you need to know. And it might tell you the future, the immediate future of your quarterback. If Dylan Gabriel goes out and doesn't play well this week, well, bring on Shadur. I mean, why not? You know, Dylan's opportunity to lock up that job for the rest of the year.
A little bit of news real quick, gentlemen. Rockies make it official that they have hired Paul DePodesta to be the club's president of baseball operations, effective immediately. So Rockies make official the Paul DePodesta hire.
Hmm. Anything about a press conference? I'm just curious. Would you want to hear what he has to say?
Absolutely want to hear what he has to say.
Dan,
I don't want to hear the whole press conference, but I'd like to hear.
That's why we have beat writers.
I'd like to hear the cut when he's asked about the Browns.
What about us being the beat writers when we have the chance to listen in?
That's why we have beat writers.
That's also why we get to not have to take everyone else's opinion on that stuff and come up with our own.
That's why we have beat writers.
You want to smack him or you want me to?
I can't reach him.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm dying to hear what he had to say about the Browns.
I'm sure he will say very little.
I really enjoyed my time there and blah, 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 blah.
I have a feeling it will be that. It's not like the PR training goes away. You know, this isn't going to be Paul DePodesta unfiltered.
I want to let everyone know that I'm the man responsible for the rooms in Berea.
Before we go any further, I made the Deshaun Watson trade. Thank you. End of mystery.
Wow. Would that take everybody off the hook?
Yeah, it would take the entire organization off the hook.
I'm the guy behind the RC Cola.
I'm the reason.
Do you like the new variety of hot dogs available? That was my call.
I'm the reason the Rams moved out of Cleveland and went to L.A.
I, Paul DePodesta, am the reason why the grass on the field has looked better this year.
Well, that's a good one. You know why? Because when he gets out on the grass, it changes everything.
Because they haven't been playing at home.
That's true. The grass does look fit.
You can't really rip the grass up when you're not standing on it.
It looks spectacular.
It does.
The turf looked great last night.
Done great.
I'm the reason the scoreboards look like Tennessee. And I really wish Drew Carey wouldn't have said what he said. It's my fault. It's my responsibility.
Are we going to do this bit?
Oh, nope. Of course we are.
All right.
Blame Paul DePodesta for anything right now. 216-474-0092.
Get to us at CLE Talking Heads. What's wrong? That is Paul DePodesta's fault. The best so far goes to my buddy Gary, who sent me Paul DePodesta is the reason why we lost the United Hub.
It's really good.
Good point. Paul DePodesta is the reason the Indians don't play at League Park anymore.
Chip actually sent me an email. He said, my sources tell me that Paul left because he didn't get the play calling gig.
That's really good.
You are so talented,
Cleveland. It really is good.
You are so talented. Paul DePodesta is the reason for all the traffic coming into town from the west side now, too. He was the one that planned the construction schedule on that. You know that?
Chip sent me a second email.
Yeah.
After giving me the definition of analytics, it says, data shows the ship is going down and it's time to jump out.
Oh, I just got this one. Someone told me Paul DePodesta is the man that called Red Right 88.
Our social media matches powered by Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads like Jared does here. I heard Paul DePodesta was the reason why the Indians did not want to pay Jim Thome a couple more million.
It's unfortunate. But I also heard Paul DePodesta is the reason we have all the statues out there now. Because it was his idea. He had so many great ideas. And we can blame him for all of them. He's the reason that the... I'm not going to do that. I thought about it. Didn't do it. Walked down the road. Said, forget about it. I'm sure you're going to blame Paul DePodesta for something else. Nate's in West Salem. Hi, Nate. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hey, earlier in the show, Dan mentioned that, you know, nothing's going to change here. It'll just be a rearranging of the chairs on the Titanic.
But, yeah.
You know, we have our own historical perspective from when Hugh Jackson was fired and Greg Williams took over.
Well, it was good.
Same players. Team turned around on a dime. So it might not change, but it also very well could. Just different voices, different perspectives. So, you know, we have to, let's see what happens here, right?
Yeah,
right,
you think they win? They win?
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay. You don't think they win this week?
I think we're a very bad football team with very little talent, and I just think we're, I think.
Do you think the Jets have more talent than we do now?
I mean, I think the Jets are going to come out hungry. Jets are a bunch of backup players going to come out and prove their worth. I think that.
We had an extra week off. Jeff brought that up. If there's a week they're ever going to win,
that extra week off
is this week.
We do terrible off bye weeks. We always lose off bye weeks. Hey, the writing's on the wall here. Stefanski gave up play calling. DePodesta has decided to just move on, which maybe he was given a hint. Maybe he saw the writing on the wall. You know, I think this is all great news for the Browns. I think we're moving in the right direction with some new changes in leadership, and let's get it. The direction hasn't worked. Look at DePodesta's record since he's been here, since 2016.
Yep.
Who knows what he does? But Barry's been here. Stefanski's been here. It's been 6-7 years. New voices. So go Browns, guys.
All right, thank you. Paul DePodesta is the reason Ohio State couldn't beat Michigan last year. I heard that too. Man, all of this information coming in. Robert in Brecksville. Robert.
I got two for you. So I, Paul DePodesta, am the reason why that to the – I messed that up. I, Paul DePodesta, am the one who opened the gate to let the guy in to turf the field in the pickup truck.
Oh, didn't realize that.
Yeah,
he didn't,
yeah.
He clearly didn't know it was Baker's house.
Nope. And I, Paul DePodesta, am the reason why Phelps' minivan couldn't make it to 400,000 miles.
Oh.
Could have rubbed that in, Robert. Thanks.
Man. Did you need to call Paul and find that out or no?
Just move along.
I'm wow. I've yeah.
Brought up a bad memory, Robert.
Sorry. Chuck in Cleveland. Chuck.
Hey, how are you doing, guys?
What's up, Chuck?
Hey, Paul Bedisa. Paul DePodesta is the reason why you guys got to wear pants now instead of wearing shorts during your show.
It's true.
Also, Paul DePodesta is the reason that's who Johnny Manziel was hiding from when he wore that notorious outfit in Vegas, the mask and hat.
I didn't realize he was trying to chase him down like one of those shows that Jeff loves, those police shows that you like. What shows?
Law and Order, baby.
Law and Order. I didn't know which one it was. I don't know how many more of these I could do. Billy in Cleveland. Go ahead, Billy.
Neither do I.
Paul DePodesta brought the Asian lantern flies.
Could have went sideways real quick.
Billy, that was good. You know, you're supposed to step on those things. That's
you are?
That's yes.
Feel bad.
It's rough, I know.
Remember how many were out on the street there? We walked by there.
Well, you couldn't help but step on some.
I've also noticed an unusual number.
They're very pretty, but.
Is this a bad sign? Like as I walk out of here, I've seen birds, like, hitting glass. I fear,
you know why?
I fear for the new dome. I'm going to be honest
with you. You
know
why?
Why? For the same reason they had the problem over at at the arena.
Because they're flying through the streets of Cleveland and they're being infected by the smell that you and I smell every time we...
So you're saying that these sparrows are flying high?
They're high. It's like they're flying through the city going, dude.
Nick is in Cleveland. Hello, Nick.
What's up, guys? I don't think Paul DePodesta is responsible for this one. I think it's more of a Stefanski thing. When we go to the pass game in the first half, they run jet motion. The Corley, he takes the hand off. He goes like 30 yards or something.
Yeah.
Here's my issue. He never goes back to jet motion throughout the whole game. Like, that's a play calling issue, not a talent issue. You know, any good coach on any level, you go back to what works. It doesn't have to be a jet handoff, but show that motion again. Make that defense respect that. You could fake it, go to the dive, fake it, throw a pass. But, like, when you have a success out of a formation, not of a play, and then you never go back to it the rest of the game, like, it's showing me Stefanski's losing it a little bit.
And, Nick, let me double up on that. And you don't go back to a guy who gained 31 yards for you.
Right, right, exactly. So, you know, I know the talent ain't there, but, like, when you have some success, you know, you got to build off of that. And to not see that anymore, you know, it's concerning. And I was a Stefanski guy, but it's like, man, dude, peewee coaches are doing that stuff. High school coaches are doing that stuff. And so we don't see it at the NFL level. I'm excited to see what Tommy Reese does.
Hmm. All right. Thank you, Nick. I'm genuinely excited, too.
The Haslams have released a statement on Paul DePodesta.
Oh, they have?
Yeah. You want me to read it?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Not very,
about a
not very long.
Okay.
We want to thank Paul for his contributions to the Cleveland Browns over the past 9.5 seasons. Paul's humble and egoless approach encouraged a culture of teamwork and collaboration. He helped modernize our research and analytics department, and his broad background in professional sports brought a different perspective to our organization. We appreciate the valued role he played in our organization as a member of our leadership team, and we wish him all the best in his return to Major League Baseball with the Colorado Rockies.
Hmm. Paul's an incredible thought partner.
Didn't say that.
And Paul's the reason they went to those new uniforms that nobody liked. They didn't say that either.
And according to Alan on social media, Paul DePodesta's fault. You can't use cash at the stadium.
Oh.
That might be true. That might be true.
Well played. All right,
so that's a nice statement.
Well, so now do you know what he does? We spent an hour trying to figure it out.
He's the reason for the name change from the Indians to the Guardians, according to Grumpy Chief.
He encouraged a culture of teamwork and collaboration. He did modernize the research and analytics department. There is something, which we assumed.
All right, we'll figure it out at some point. Two keys and a lock, Tim May, coming up a little bit later in this hour. It's Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard Jeff's had the release that he just read moments ago from the Haslams thanking Paul DePodesta for his time here in Cleveland as he moves on to the Rockies. That was very classy. I will say that. I know we were making fun at the end, but I thought that was nice.
You guys were. I just read the thing.
Oh, Mr. Professional over here, Dan. I didn't realize we were working with him. No?
Paul's an incredible thought partner.
There's that.
We want to thank Paul for his contributions to the Cleveland Browns over the past 9.5 seasons. 9.5 seasons. Mm-hmm. Feels like it was just 20 years ago. Paul's humble and egoless approach encouraged a culture of teamwork and collaboration. That's why they were thought partners.
Love it.
He helped modernize our research and analytics department, and his broad background in professional sports brought a different perspective to our organization. We appreciate the valued role he played in our organization as a member of our leadership team, and we wish him all the best in his return to Major League Baseball with the Colorado Rockies.
You didn't like the way I read it?
No. Well, you know what, Jeff? I assume that people like to join our show, and then maybe they have things to do, and they may not hear every second of the show. So if they missed it, now they know.
It's great.
The other thing they can do is go to the Odyssey Rewind app, and they can find it there. Dan Menigan, is the orchestra ready?
It can be.
Can it be? Because we are about to do, which is, it happens only every once in a while where Jeff is here on a Friday, and I'm very appreciative of this. We will now do two keys and a lock to the Browns game on Sunday against the J-E-T-S Jets. Jeff, since you are here, I will give you the honor of key number one, Jeff Phelps.
Get the ball to Quinshon Judkins. About 18 times, 18, 20 times. Give him the ball. Let him run. It's a key. Let him run.
Jeff Phelps, key number one. Let him run. Dan Menigan, key number one.
Key number one is exactly what Jeff Phelps said. I can't hammer it enough. Hand the ball to Quinshon Judkins for the love of all that is holy. And a small caveat to it, do it from under center. Sets up the run game a little bit better, makes it easier for those guys to find holes. Get Dylan Gabriel under center, turn around, hand the ball off.
Yep.
What makes you think it's going to work? Both of you.
Because I think he's a good running back, and I think the offensive line can run block.
Because the best thing that you can do for a rookie quarterback is A, get the run game going, and B, set a play action, which was going to be key number two.
I'm with you guys, but if that's the only thing that's working and the Jets have to have practice this week, my practice would be stopping Quinshon Judkins. We saw that a couple weeks ago.
And don't make me play left-handed until I 100% know I got to play left-handed.
All right, my key number one is the offense needs to slowly move into this game. So what I'm saying when I say slowly move into this game, you give Tommy and Gabriel a chance to get comfortable with each other, right? And part of that is handing the ball off to Quinshon Judkins, which I just chastised both of you two for saying, how do you know it's going to work? But I agree with that. And then as the game progresses, I hope Tommy Rees sees the opportunity to have this young man throw the ball down the field a little bit more. Wouldn't it be nice to see a couple plays of 20 yards plus? So as the game moves on, once they get past that great first drive they always seem to have that is scripted, they need to be able to go off script after that. And so I want him to gradually rise the offense, start slow, and then expand. Maybe we'll see some more dynamic plays. Key number two. Dan Menigan, you can go first.
Key number two, set up play action deep shots. For the love of all that is holy, push the ball down the field. Get the dome out from over your offense. You need to get the ball down the field because it's going to open up everything else over the middle if you at least even have a threat of a 20-yard pass. Play action.
Did you say dome?
Yes.
I thought I heard that too.
Yeah.
It is a dome on top of this offense.
Okay.
Every team plays cover two, cover four. They put a dome over this offense and say, we dare you to beat us. We dare you to beat us over the top. And the Browns have gone, all right, fine. Well, here's another 5-yard dump off. Oh, look, here's a 6-yard out route. Yay. Push the ball down the field. Use play action as your friend. You don't use it enough. Use it more.
That's key number two.
Key number two, Jeff Phelps.
I think the defense has to be on its game. The defense can't let a Jets offense that has some talent get loose. Now, Justin Fields is their Achilles on this. Breece Hall's a really good running back. Apparently, the Chiefs offered a 4th-rounder, and the Jets held out for a 3rd. Garrett Wilson can play. And we'll see if any of the new wide receivers, and we'll see what Mason Taylor can do. The defense just has to play a good game. Andy, they don't have to shut them out. They don't have to hold them to 7. They don't have to hold them to 10. But they can't let them get loose.
Key number two for me is the defense, especially the front four, whether it's Wright or Collins or Graham or Garrett or McGuire or Harris or Hall or Thomas or Huntington. Bring a bib, baby. Bring a bib, because you should be landed quite a few sacks this week. And the team you're going up against gives up 3.9 sacks per game. Over the last 3 games, they've been giving up a Myles Garrett special. I'm going to set it back, which is 5 sacks per game. And Miles, we know you can do that in the game. Guess what? I'm going to watch you do that again this week. Our front four should destroy their offensive line. So bring a bib, baby. You get to eat, and you get to eat good on Sunday. I can't wait to see our defense destroy the Jets' offense. We'll see if that happens or not. All right. We've given you 2 keys. Now it's the important part. Jeff Phelps, give me a lock.
Jerry Jeudy will catch his first touchdown pass of the season. Pretty bold there. You like that one?
I agree. I think you're right. I like that lock. Dan Medigan, give me a lock.
My lock is this game will never be shown on NFL Network or anywhere else after it takes place. This is going to be grotesque. I have a feeling you are going to watch 2 inept offenses go back and forth as 2 defenses slow them down. This is not going to be teach tape. That is my lock.
Wow.
That's funny.
This will not be an instant classic.
You do know Paul DePodesta is the reason ESPN Classic doesn't exist anymore, too, right?
Oh, you
know
I like that.
I just want you to
that's
know.
A good one.
Thank you. Yeah. My lock. I don't know. I don't normally do this. I'm going to go with the tight ends again. David Njoku, touchdown in this game. I want to say he's going to have 100 yards in receptions, but I'm going to go 70 to play it safe. So I'm going to go David Njoku, 1 touchdown, 70 yards plus on Sunday. And I feel strong about that. I would have said, would I have though? I got to think about this. I would have said Harold Fannin Jr. on this too, but it sounds like he's a little banged up. He was banged up at practice yesterday. So I don't know how deep they can go with Fannin. So maybe, you know what? I'm half tempted to call a Blake Whitehart touchdown too. That would be bold, wouldn't it?
Will there be more points in this game or the Raiders-Broncos game last night?
Talk about sending football back. That was just awful.
I fell asleep during last night's game. Sorry, guys.
Better off.
You should have.
I did. I did the right thing.
Oh, very much so.
I was all excited. Thursday I got home last night. I'm like, oh, let's get this game on. And then
Thursday night games are awful.
What was the over-under in that game? 18?
4.
It was 4?
They did go over.
10-7, the final in last night's game.
The NFL is, you shouldn't be bouncing back on 3 days rest to play an NFL game.
So how would you fix it?
Well, you dump the games. And then they're not going to do that.
What were they saying? Denver only has one game out of 23 days because they have this kind of extended, and then they've got their bye. So they're going to end up playing one game in 23 days.
The Raiders went seven straight series last night without getting a first down. Oh, my gosh.
There's no way they'll ever get rid of Thursday Night Football.
No, there's too much of a moneymaker.
Is there a way to fix it, though?
I don't know.
Is there a way to fix it? I don't know.
If you're going to play 3 days after a team plays on Sunday, no. Could you adjust it and have them, you know, have that game played coming out of a bye week for both teams? That's about the only thing I can think of, except you're not going to have a bye week in week one of the season, you know, or week two of the season. You know what I mean?
No, but what you could do, Jeff, is stagger. Now, you would put teams in national, you put them on national TV a little bit more often. What if, and I don't know if they, I can't remember if this was, if this is part of the law or not, but what if they started playing some games on Friday night so that you would play Friday and then the following Thursday to give a team a little more rest, or they would take four teams and play.
Well, you're still playing then on short rest.
Yeah, I know, but you're adding another, like, basically 2 days.
If I'm the NFL, and I know, you know, during COVID they played games every day of the week. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to dilute my product.
Jeff, I think we're past that. And as they expand overseas, I think that might be an option. I mean, Tuesday night football doesn't do anything for me. Wednesday night football doesn't do anything either, does it? But you got to think that somewhere in the brain trust of the NFL, they're trying to figure out ways to make these games a little bit bigger, better. I don't know. Do you expand the season out by another week and allow for more rest time throughout the season, and so that you may have to stagger
long enough?
I know. I don't know how. Well, look, I'm okay with it if they get rid of the preseason, right? You could stretch the season back another week if you got rid of the preseason.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But the coaches don't seem to want to get rid of that either. But, and then if you're going to go to 18 games and you're going to put teams in overseas, I don't know how these Thursday night games get any better than 10-7. Because they'll get gradually worse. I agree with you.
Some of them actually turn out to be really good games. Now, let's be fair. They don't all stink.
Last night
was just awful. Man, that was bad. The Raiders' offensive line was atrocious, and Geno Smith was equally as atrocious. I don't know who to blame. Was it Geno, or was it the line, or was it both? And Denver's defense was pretty good.
Kenny got in, huh?
Yeah, because Geno was knocked silly and kept coming back in the game. Kenny also broke up an argument between Geno Smith and Raheem Mostert.
See that? He's already paid off. Maybe we shouldn't have traded him. He could have broke up an argument here.
Well, it would have been something.
I don't know. Did you watch the game last night, Dan, or no?
I kept tabs on
it. I was in and out. I was just like, I wanted to watch
Bo Nix. I watched every bit of it. It stunk.
I looked at it on the calendar and went, no, I'm not watching this. There's better stuff on.
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins kept me awake there for a second, and then I was like, okay, I'm done with it. Speaking of J.K. Dobbins, speaking of the great state of Ohio, speaking of the Buckeyes, Tim May, he will join us next from the Tim May Podcast with Clay Hall. That's next right here, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
One or the other, the man that told us all this before it happened last week, the guru, the man, the myth, the legend, the Tim May Podcast. with Clay Hall. It is Tim May. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing extremely well. Just recorded my podcast. It's really funny when you have a sidekick, what I call Clay Hall,
yes.
Featuring Clay Hall, and he calls in sick, so I'll bring in Bill Bender of the Sporting News as my co-pilot. We just had recorded a really nice podcast there, and I appreciate you bringing it up. But, I've got football on my brain right now as we speak.
Clay good, or is he just a little colder? A little setback?
Clay?
Yeah.
No, Clay's a former, TV personality.
Oh, I know. Clay was the competition that I always respected because the boys over at the ABC in Columbus were always working really, really hard. And, we were the giant as 10 TV with all the giant names. Herb Street was working with us. And
heck, I even did shows over there.
You were with us.
That's how big it was.
Jay Crawford.
That's how big it was.
But I was always impressed with the work that Clay did over at Channel 6 with Anthony Rothman. Everybody else that was over there. So,
but he's but what I was getting to is, those guys learned how to yell a little bit. So Clay brings the volume, so I bring I don't know if I bring quality to the show. I'm not sure what I bring, but
the digress. I digress. Time. You bring
like the
Bill
info. Bill Bender and I talking about college football. The ramification games. There are ramification games for the college football playoff. This week, with Oregon playing at Iowa, and of course BYU and Texas Tech. I mean, almost feel like elimination games in some respect, especially for Iowa. If Iowa pulls the upset, then Iowa could be that extra team in the Big Ten, getting in a full team. And it's almost like Oregon needs to take one for the team here in the next couple of weeks. I guess some of these teams are playing, like USC. Iowa plays USC next week, but. Yeah, things are on the line here, baby, as November rolls deep into November.
Tim, Jeff Phelps here. Good to be with you again.
Nice being with you, Jeff.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that very much. How much better is Ohio State than most every other team in the country?
That's hard to say. Are they better than Indiana? I'm not sure. Everybody's going to get to find that out on the first weekend in December. That looks like a collision course of possibly two unbeaten, number one, number two in the country, and in the college football playoff committee rankings. But here's the thing I'll say about Ohio State and Indiana, as opposed to when I look at the Southeastern Conference. I think Ohio State and Indiana are the two most complete teams, meaning offense and defense. And we'll see where that goes. In the Southeastern Conference, I only see one defense of true note. And even it's kind of taken its lumps this year a few times is Texas. But, Texas A&M is not a great defensive team. It's good, makes plays when it needs to, right on down the line. But I think the committee has it right with Ohio State and Indiana being 1-2 because I think these are right now the two best teams in the country.
What are you expecting tomorrow?
I'm expecting overcast, possible
chief meteorologist Tim May in front of the Doppler radar. Yes,
the forecast over there has changed several times, but there's definitely going to be showers rolling through late in the afternoon, it looks like, and continuing on into Columbus, following me or accompanying me back to Columbus. But the bottom line is it's not supposed to be super windy, and that's the only thing I think anybody who is cheering for Ohio State needs to worry about is if one day the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour or 20 miles an hour, now what happens with that passing game?
That passing game is something I was just going to ask you about, and one guy in particular, and that's Brian Hartline. The wide receivers that have been kicked out of this program are unbelievable, and he's the guy responsible, and now as offensive coordinator. Tim, what's his future? Do you see him as a head coach? Do you see him in college? Do you see him in the NFL? What do you think? Because, man, has he done a great job.
Yeah. He's keeping his cards close to the vest. That's what you want to call it, number one. Number two, he's only been the true play-calling offensive coordinator for just this year so far. He's proven himself. I mean, I've really liked Ryan Day's involved in this. I mean, all the offensive coaches are. We go through this ad nauseum every time I talk about offensive coordinator. You're not just out there just throwing plays out of your rear pocket. You've got plans, et cetera, everybody's worked on and stuff. But I've really liked their approach the last couple of weeks of knowing they've got the two best wide receivers, definitely the best wide receiver tandem in college football, and this quarterback who is uncannily, if in fact that's the correct way of saying it, accurate and can throw every pass in the book and is now your Heisman Trophy favorite, depending on where you look from an odds standpoint, in Julian saying. But I just like the way they've called plays as, well, we've got something that you don't have and really hardly anyone else in the nation has. We have a big-time NFL-caliber passing attack. I won't take a shot like I did last week about saying, you know, it's the best NFL team in Ohio or whatever else I said, which was funny
it
to
was.
Me.
I laughed.
But clearly they've taken an NFL approach to the offense, which means, man, if they're giving you the pass, let the pass set up the run, you know? I mean, do what you do best and then work on other stuff. And so obviously Penn State, Ohio State took the top off their defense three times, maybe even four if you really count them up. That was not supposed to be a twist-off cap, but Ohio State and Jeremiah Smith and Colonel Tate were able to make it that way anyway, just over, you know, overthrew the coverage and made huge plays in that game against Jim Knowles, et cetera. They knew Jim Knowles' tendencies about leaving his guys on the islands to a certain extent in coverage, but a couple of times he kind of had guys there, but the Ohio State receivers still made the plays. So that's what's interesting. But it's Brian Hartline calling the plays, and he hadn't just been a win in doubt, air it out kind of guy. I mean, Ryan Day won't allow that, you know. Ryan Day is the head coach, but they know the running game still needs work. But you work on the running game during the week, and you try to bring it along in a game. You don't forget about it, just like last week they didn't. Bo Jackson had another 100-yard rushing game or whatever, had that almost a breakaway a home run, but had a triple in that game, that's for sure. And so the thing is, you just keep pounding that running game occasionally just to let them know you're going to get punches to the kidneys just like you're going to get punches to the face, you know, mm-hmm. which is the passing game. So that's what I like about what Brian Hartline is doing. But in terms of his recruiting prowess when it comes to wide receivers, par excellence, you know, he gets called in to not just recruit receivers but other players. So he's got that going for him. So whether he ends up a head coach in 2026, that'll probably be his call.
I meant to ask you this a month ago, and I kind of downplayed it a little in my mind just because of the time span. But, I mean, it seems amazing to me when we talk about Ryan Day and Newt Rockne in the same sentence when he passed that winning percentage that he had at 88.2 to surpass Rockne at 88.1. I mean, mm-hmm. we're talking about Newt Rockne and Ryan Day in the same sentence. What does that mean?
Well, not only that, but I told Ryan this the other day. He said this, you know, all their plays, I mean, he's basically said this, you know, our plays are, you know, are kind of designed. I mean, they're, you know, to score. I mean, every play they run, you know, whatever. And I go, that's exactly what Rockne used to say, you know, and because I've read all kinds of books about Rockne. Of course, I watched that awful movie about him. Mm-hmm. But
did you ever go to Cedar Point and see the sign on the beach up there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely,
cool.
Dude.
It's
I mean, cool. I can't remember the other guy. The guy, it was like a Greek name or whatever, the guy he was throwing the ball with on the beaches up there. But the beach up there. But the bottom line is, you know, Ryan has said that, and he's right. Any game, any play perfectly executed or excellently executed can get you a touchdown. And that's what he keeps honing in on or homing in on about the running game, for example. You know, the offensive line, you know, it's responsibility to get you to the second level if you're the running back. And then maybe the wide receivers kick in with blocks of their own. But you're always going to have to beat one guy on the defense to have a breakaway run and stuff. And so, yeah, but it's like he's not just a pass freak. Ryan Day is not. And it's the same with Brian Hartline. Like I said, I've sat through a lecture of his at the coaches clinic earlier this year back in March or April. And, you know, he was talking about how important the run game is. And anybody who was paying attention to anything last year in that four-game run to the national championship saw how important the run game was to Ohio State in that run. So, pardon the pun. So, I'm just having fun. But, yeah, give me a drink, hon. right on down the line. I mean, it's like anybody can see how much importance they put on there. And a well-balanced offense has got to take you places. But, yeah, you know, when you play Michigan this year, for example, you know, do whatever they can't cover. Do that the best, you know, and then go from there instead of, like, trying to prove a point maybe like last year.
Gus Darius and go get some sun.
Gus Darius, yeah.
And go get some sun to add to your puns.
Yeah.
What do we expect? We got about a minute left here. What do we expect tomorrow? I mean, there are days I sit down, I'm like, okay, I know how this is going to play out. All right, sometimes you just write the script before. What are you expecting tomorrow?
You've been to West Lafayette.
I know.
I mean, think of the garden spot of the Big Ten. This is on the other, if you're rating them 1 through 18, this would be at the very end. Number one. So it's always sort of a weird weather day there. It seems like either windy or, you know, the Holy Buckeye was thrown into the wind by Krenzel to Michael Jenkins, who made a hell of a catch, catch. But the point is, in 2002, but then weird things have happened over there. They had a huge storm come through in 2018, about an hour before the game. And that Ohio State team was upset by Rondale Moore and Jeff Brohm and Purdue, and it cost them a trip to the college football playoff. Maybe a really good team was cost a trip to the playoff. Not a great defensive team. So weird stuff happens over there. Ohio State's also taking care of business fairly well over there on occasion, and sometimes it's been a struggle, like in 2002. First game I ever covered over there was 1984 when I first went on the beat covering Ohio State, and Ohio State's driving late in the game, and they're trailing late in the game. They've been the coming out party for Chris Carter as a freshman receiver, Mike Tomczak at quarterback, and boom, man, they're driving, and Mike Tomczak throws the ball out of bounds to stop the clock on fourth down. So it effectively ended the game. Keith Byers was on his way to finishing second to Doug Flutie in the Heisman race that year. Weird stuff has happened over there, but also some grand stuff. I expect tomorrow I'll take care of business. But I'll tell you what, if you don't sit up and go, you know what, Purdue is winless in the Big Ten this year, but they played Michigan into the fourth quarter last week, and it took a big run by Michigan to kind of put that game away. Everybody's got some players, and you can't let games like this get to the late third quarter, fourth quarter. So I expect Ohio State to take care of business.
All right. I'm not surprised. Tim May, as always, you know we love talking to you. We'll talk to you next Friday. Get ready as we get a little bit closer to that Michigan game later in the month. I'll say it. I don't care.
I expect Ohio State to take care of business, and business is a booming.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
See you guys.
Talk to you later.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.